Hi, welcome to Redwood Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kirk. This week we discussed the ongoing militarization of the police, the Texas redistricting war, Elon Musk's pay package, and the firing of the labor statistics chair. Good evening. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk.
And I'm Matthew Owen.
And we're discussing national political news of the week. And there is so much to talk about. I don't even know where to get started. I'm thinking one of the big news that we probably need to discuss is the president didn't like the jobs numbers. What did he do? He immediately called his advisors together and said, what can we do about this loss of jobs? And how can we preserve this economy? I'm joking, of course. That's not what he did. Instead, he fired the messenger, fired the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I'm forgetting her name at this point. I never knew it well, but we'll talk a little bit about why. But basically, the number, and it's not even so much that there were only about 78,000 jobs created in June, but the numbers for, July, but the numbers for May and June were revised down to, like 10,000 jobs, anemic. And of course, Trump immediately says she rigged them deliberately, that she's some type of operative appointed by Biden. Right. But there's no way that can happen. It cannot be done. It is impossible. What happens is those particular figures are generated by surveys of about like 630,000 workplaces, not necessarily 630,000 businesses, because businesses have multiple workplaces, but about 630,000 workplaces. And they're compiled, and not everybody responds on time. Since the pandemic, there have been problems of having people respond on time with their labor force data. And actually, some economists are saying that some companies are having a hard time getting their data in now because of the immigration raids. So a lot of them don't get them in time. And the idea is to have them in on the Wednesday before the first Friday of the month. Whatever data is in by that time, they give the numbers, they compile it. About 2,000 people compile that information and put it, and it's on the computer. There is nothing that the chair can do to alter those numbers. There is oversight up the wazoo. The president can look at it, and that number gets put together into a report that is released 2 days later in the morning on Friday. What happens is when there are a lot of reports that don't come in, particularly by big companies, they come in over the next couple of months. And when they finally get all of them in, or nearly all of them, sometimes the reports change. This has happened. Yes, revised. And it's based on averages. And it's happened before. It's not like this is the first time it's happened, but it's happening a lot more lately because there is more lag time. Maybe what Congress needs to do is change the deadline or something, maybe not have it every month. Maybe, I don't know. But either way, the next person is not going to have any easier time getting these businesses to turn in their data. It's voluntary. They're not breaking the law by not submitting the data. And they'll just, if any pressure is put on them, they'll say, you know what, we quit. No, we're not, we're not going to do it. This is how the data is in. It can't. So he basically, when he said they were rigged, they backed off that, but they're saying, well, there were all these other mistakes, and there have been some mistakes like data that got leaked a couple of days early and stuff like that, but that doesn't, and the big discrepancies between the initial report and the other report, the later reports, and accusations that it was done to benefit Biden. It wasn't. It actually hurt Biden, if anything, the way the reports came out. But the point is that no, He fired him because he didn't fired her because he didn't like the numbers, and he had to blame somebody, and he's not going to blame his tariffs. He's not going to blame other aspects of his policies, including the indiscriminate immigration raids. He's going to blame the messenger, just like the myths of old the Roman Empire. You kill the messenger, it's superstition. And that's where we're at. And we'll get to the problems of this because it's going to lead to investors not trusting the data. And that's a problem.
Right. Well, that's Trump's MO. Always confuse everyone and just spread confusion. That's what he does with everything. Do you think half the Republicans believe who won the 2020 election?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's but the point is that the investors rely on this data, and if they can't trust that that this is accurate, then that's going to be a problem. That's if they don't be, and right now what they know is that if you give numbers that Trump don't like, you're going to get fired. So if you are in that position, I'm not saying that the next person is necessarily going to try to fudge the number somehow. Again, it's not possible to do it without oversight, but you know, but who handles the oversight? The administration. Right. Administration does. So the point is that there is an incentive to not report bad economic news.
I just think a lot of people, they have a high turnover there in the Washington statistical world.
Yeah.
Anyone who gives numbers that Trump doesn't like, there is no, they're going to get fired. That's that.
Well, they're going to have to start firing the surveyors, the thousands of people that are involved in collecting this data.
And if he had a way to do it, he would.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
Listen to Rub and Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Now, there is another report that usually comes out a few days before that is put out by a private sector group, the ADL report, I think is. I might have the initials wrong. It's not known to be as accurate, but this time it was. That report came out and it was about 10,000 and everybody's freaking out. But then when the initial report came out showing that there was like 140,000 jobs, everybody was relieved. That report was wrong. It turns out that report was right. And it may be that investors are going to have to depend on that report exclusively.
Right.
But this is the problem. Is can we, you know, will be people be able to trust these reports? And that's going to lead to more uncertainty in the economy when investors cannot depend on, cannot rely on the report.
So the one good news, and Trump should have laid in on this, instead of firing the gal, he should have said, it looks like the labor market's slowing. We need to lower interest rates. That's what I would have done if I was Trump. But
yeah.
He doesn't think that way. Because he wants Jerome Powell and the Fed to lower rates, and the Fed's saying, "Yeah, the economy's kind of a little, it's doing a little too good right now." He should have said, "The economy's slowing down. We need to lower rates now." That would have been the right move.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that the whole reason Powell is not lowering the rates is because he doesn't know what the effect of the
inflation,
these tariffs, are going
right.
to be.
And keep in mind, half the Republicans think the foreign countries are paying the tariffs.
Yeah. I know. And businesses, as we talked about last week, including Procter & Gamble, they've been eating it. And they're saying they're not going to do it anymore. They're everybody's reserves, what they've had in storage, have been used up. They're saying that prices are going to start going up. Especially for
automobiles.
Yes.
You think someone's going to take a hit on a $75,000 Mercedes and eat the 15-20% tariff on that? No, they're going to pass it right on to the consumers.
And Powell is, you know, a good part of his job is to watch for inflation. But
I wish it on the sticker price on the car. It would say manufacturer's retail price $75,000, Trump tariff $15,000, total new price $90,000. Amazon talked about doing that with every order coming from overseas, is saying Trump tariff X percent. And guess who freaked out on that?
Now, last week, my prediction was that he would punt again for Canadian and Mexican tariffs. I was half right. The Mexican tariffs got punted 90 days down the road. But Canada, we've gone full. We are now in the tariffs with Canada. As of today, Canada and Mexico are working out their own trade deal. They are working out. They came together with a meeting. They're going to open up additional trade lines between them. Canada and Mexico are also working trade deals with other countries. I mean, and all these lines are opening up. And, you know, that I think if Americans are assuming that once these trade wars are over, that they're going to just abandon those trade streams to come back to us. Oh, good. We're going to get to trade with America again. That's a mistake to assume that.
Right. Countries like Canada, they're just done with us.
Yeah. I mean,
the tourists aren't coming here.
No. Yeah, as you reported on Las Vegas.
Don't spend a dollar there.
Right. And certainly they're not going to come here if they have to do a $15,000 deposit. Did you hear about that?
No, I thought it was bad. I was hearing it was $250 for a visa fee.
They're talking about a $15,000 refundable deposit if you're going to be here long term. So, you know, just so that you don't overstay it.
Okay, but if I'm going to come here legally, I'm going to pay it up front, especially if I come from a wealthy family. That's not a problem.
Yeah, but, I mean, who's going to want to do it? I wouldn't go to a country to do that. I'd just say, forget it. I'll go somewhere
else.
And
a new country.
Yeah, I mean, sure, maybe some rich people will be willing to pay that, but then they'll probably be exempted from it. So it's just, put it on my credit card tab or something. It is really bad. But, you know, this is, you know, the point is that this is how Trump gets his way. Now, he can't have his way. He can't influence the private sector measures. So investors are not going to believe government data after a while. And that's a problem.
It's a big
because
problem.
The government has the resources to invest in the data. That's why the BLS data is more accurate than the ADL data.
But they're just going to roll this to the elections. If Carrie Lake in Arizona runs for another office and loses, she's going to say it was rigged. I actually won, but it was rigged.
Yeah.
Well, and half the Republicans will believe her.
That is the par for the course. And that brings us to let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Texas and the response. We talked a little bit about the wars this has started. Obviously, Trump put pressure on the Republicans in Texas to come up with five more congressional seats. And they've already taken the first steps to do that. Democrats, I think five of them left the state, went to Illinois deny the quorum. The governor and the attorney general of Texas are calling on the FBI to arrest them. There's no federal law there. The only federal law being broken in the whole thing is the Voting Rights Act. But, the FBI is silent on it. Pritzker is saying, don't send the FBI here. That's the governor of Illinois saying, don't send the FBI here.
The thing to tell everyone, Eric, is redistricting is done every 10 years after the census.
Yeah.
They're trying to do it midterm because Trump's worried that if he gets a Democrat-controlled Congress, they're going to start impeachment proceedings on his pick the crime.
Well, and even if they don't, it means his agenda's over. They're not. He's not going to, you know, there's all kinds of, going to be all kinds of problems with it. I mean, he'll pretty much would have to have a coup to be able to govern the way he wants to. But in response to that, Governor Newsom has pledged, and apparently it's in the works, to do something similar here. And it's not that anybody wants to do it, but it's apparently the legislation that's in the works here, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, is basically that we'll do it, but only if it's happening in Texas, right. and it will be undone if they refuse to do it. So in response, apparently now the Republicans in Indiana want to do it, and I don't think Florida can be gerrymandered any more than it is. I think they've maxed out the gerrymander there. You know, that's the problem, is that the Republican states are already gerrymandered to the max. I mean, 18 Republicans have gerrymandered 18 states. Democrats have gerrymandered 3. Okay. That's how it works. Basically, Illinois has been gerrymandered to a certain extent. Maryland, and I'm forgetting the third. New York, I think, got gerrymandered somewhat, but even that got partially reversed. I was debating somebody today, a local guy who was in the Republican Party, says, hey, Trump won 38% of the vote, and yet in California, Republicans only have like 20% of the seats. It's like part of the that, but we have a commission that is five Democrats, 5 Republicans, and 4 independents. They did it as evenly as they possible. Sometimes geography just doesn't work out for trying to make it everything partisan. They point out that Massachusetts, every district is a Democratic majority. There is no way to slice up Massachusetts to give it a Republican majority district in any way that would be sane. You can make, you know, maybe you can slice one up to make it look like a big long snake swirling through, possibly. Same thing with Rhode Island and they added on the list, Vermont has no Republicans. Well, they only have 1 seat, for crying out loud. Right. So it's just, you know, I mean, give me a break. New Hampshire has 2 seats. I mean, so it's just, and New Mexico, well, New Mexico has 2 Democratic seats and 1 competitive seat, and the Republican lost the competitive seat because he was an idiot. So it's just that's the way it is. And in California, Republicans could probably win some more competitive seats if, you know, they weren't so reactionary. But California Republicans seem to be more reactionary than Republicans in other states in some areas. So, it's not just about that. We have a lot of competitive districts, but Democrats seem to be winning them. You know, just the fact that they are that's the results. And, you know, they point out Oregon. There's only 1 Republican representative up there, but Portland metropolitan area is something like more than half of the population up there. You add the Eugene and the surrounding areas, that makes it like almost 60%. And then on the coast of Oregon, it's all hippies like Humboldt County, and you know, so basically you've got inland in the area, you know, that nobody lives in because it's so cold and dry, right. You know, that where that's the Republican area. It's just the way it is. It's not, you know, there. But anyway, I mean, it's just those are the things to explain. But the fact of the matter is the Republicans have had Alabama until the courts forced them to break it up, where you know where the black population is like 30% of the vote, and yet only 1 out of 8 of the districts was black. Now they've got 2. They haven't done it down in New Orleans, Louisiana yet, where you've got this district that looks like a snake that links the 2 major urban areas together. That should have been broken up so that there are 2 black majority districts, but they've crammed them all into 1 district. You know, it's just so, but so they're not going to be able to get any more out of that. The Republicans are limited as to what they can, the gerrymander. They can, right. they're maxed out. So by starting this war, they can get themselves into a lot of trouble. If every Democratic state starts to gerrymander, if Washington state gets into this, they're going to lose several more seats.
Kind of takes away the whole purpose of the census, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's and how are they that people are saying, well, we passed this measure that says that it's done by an independent commission, and Newsom, you know, pointed out, well, that only applies to the census one. You know, doesn't we don't have one for it doesn't say we can't do a different one midterm. And we probably should tie that up, but when this craziness is over, we should probably make it so that it can't be done in the future when other states pass similar laws that prevent them from doing it in the future. But I think Democrats have learned they can't unilaterally disarm.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's just it's got there's got to be some kind of reform. We'll do it when Texas and Florida do it. I mean, it's just the way it's got to be. It's sad.
That's
Yeah.
Are we ready to go on to the militarization of the police?
Yes. Let's talk about
That's the thing I want to talk about today. A memo got leaked. Someone on the inside leaked a memo from Phil Hegseth, which is Pete Hegseth's brother. Phil Hegseth, it works as a liaison between the Department of Homeland Security and the Pentagon, where he's actually having meetings between these two departments, Department of Homeland Security, which includes TSA, ICE, and what's it called? Customs Border Patrol. So all these groups there, and they're getting together with the Department of Defense and the military to say, we have an invasion in this country. We need the military to get involved. Eric, you want to take a wild guess what the invasion is?
Immigrants.
Illegal immigrants. They're calling it an invasion, and they're calling it the magic word terrorist.
Yeah.
Now, I can't tell you a single illegal immigrant outside of Arab immigrants in the early 2000s that flew planes into buildings. I can't tell you a single Hispanic one that has been a terrorist. Not one. But they want to bring the military to our cities. Los Angeles still has the Marine Corps in downtown LA. Nobody knows why. I literally can't tell you. And now today, Trump came out and he said he wants the D.C. National Guard to take over for the Washington, D.C. police because they're just the Democrats are doing a horrible job. And he's going to say the same thing to good old Gavin in downtown San Francisco and any other Democratic city, Chicago, you name the city. He's going to want the military the police to come in and the military to come in and do police work, which is the last thing in the world they're trained for.
I think he also once Adams is out in New York City, he's going to want to do it there. I think he doesn't want to slight Adams right now because that's who he's supporting. But Adams is not doing well in the polling there. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
Listen to Rub and Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
And here's where President Trump has a disconnect with the majority of American citizens. The majority of American citizens view the terrorist problem we need to worry about is some Arab guy coming over here with a suitcase bomb or someone doing some sort of terrorist attack at the Rose Parade or some major event that goes on where there's hundreds of thousands of people. That is a legitimate fear. Trump wants to go after the guy with a leaf blower in Pasadena who may or may not be here legally. It's just insane. He campaigned on he was going to get rid of the bad guys, the criminals, the murderers, the rapists, the drug dealers, the cartel members. And we all said, great, go for it. He's now getting rid of moms, dishwashers, as I said earlier, gardeners, people working construction and hospitality, which is going to be hotels and restaurants, are freaking out in major urban areas saying, we rely on people to work for us. We don't check their thing. A lot of them get what's called a TIN, a temporary taxpayer identification number. And that's how they can pay their taxes. Now, these people don't get Social Security because they don't have a legitimate Social Security number. Contrary to what Fox News tells you, they're not collecting Social Security. And if you saw Congressman Mike Flood did a town hall in Nebraska, where he made a big point about health care is not free. And I wish someone would have yelled out, you get free health care, because all of Congress gets free health care plus a pension.
Yeah, well, free to them.
They're not paying it. Yeah. You get free health care. But I wish someone would have pointed that out to them.
Yeah, and of course, as everybody knows, international drug traffickers, moonlight as Home Depot workers. That's it all the time.
I know who's taking care of my friends come by and cleans their house, and I know who's taking care of their babies when the moms go to work.
Yeah.
That's ISIS.
Yeah.
Mexican ISIS.
It is pretty sad. You know, they're going after fruit salespeople in the corners. I mean, just it's ridiculous.
Anybody and everybody.
Right. I think we talked about a couple of weeks ago, they're firing the judges, the immigration judges. And that means that they've got backloads, which means that they aren't and again, just to repeat, when you're not a criminal, immigrant, even if you're here illegally, you've got more defenses. You've got other possibilities to defend. That means it's going to take a lot longer to deport you. You may not even get deported if you've got reasons to be here.
You're confused again, Eric. They're going to deport them first, and then you're about the due process 3 to 5 years down the road.
Well, it's kind of funny because some of the lawyers have actually prevented some of these deportations. They're going after those lawyers. They're trying to get sanctions at these lawyers. There's a guy, I think his name is Josh Schroeder. He got some motions that prevented a deportation of his clients. And they're trying to go after him for $400,000 in sanctions for filing frivolous motions. You can't make an argument for a frivolous motion when they won the motion. It's only frivolous if they lose it, right? You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but they want to intimidate attorneys from doing this because, you know, it's and from appealing to the real courts that they can't fire.
And we know what Trump's ultimate goal for the militarization of the police is. He wants to get rid of all dissent. If you want to do peaceful protest, you know what he's going to call you? He's going to call you an insurrectionist and send the military after you.
Well, I mean, you know, again, it sounds, you know, like hysteria. It sounds crazy, like, oh, this is America. It can't happen. But if you are going to at least consider the possibility of a military coup, you need the military across the country. Right. Again, people ask me, do you think that can happen? And, you know, again, it's kind of like in the movie Oppenheimer, right? You know, it's not zero. It's near zero chance, right? You know, well, and General Groves played by Matt Damon says, what do you mean near zero? He says, well, what do you want from theory? I say, well, zero would be nice. You know, right. I can never say zero because it's something that can happen anywhere, even in America, even in an old democracy. I can't say it can't happen, but I can say that the chances of it happening when you've got military in every major city and you've got a president that is not being regulated by checks and balances and a lot of other of the issues that we've discussed, the chances go from near zero to maybe close to 1%. And that's still, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's still getting up into the area where it shouldn't be something that should be a finite possibility, you know, within that. It's something that could happen. All plenty of reasons why I say it probably won't happen. He doesn't have a lot of loyalty in the military right now. There are plenty of people in the military who would say, no, I'm for the Constitution, not for any particular
leader. I raised my right hand and sworn to protect the Constitution of the United States, not the President of the United States.
That's right. And I think there's still plenty of people in the military. So far, he hasn't managed to purge the military yet. I'm sure he wants to, but I don't think he's managed to do that. You know, I mean, a lot of other reasons. He can't rule the states. Maybe he's got some sycophants in some states, some governors, but he certainly doesn't have California. And with people like Governor Newsom, you know, when Miller threatens to arrest him and he says, come on, tough guy, you know, bring it on, that, you know, makes it less likely. Those are things that stand in the way when you've got lawyers willing to face sanctions to do that.
As I like to say, it sounds good on Fox News, but here in reality.
Yeah. Yeah. So people ask me, well, do you think it can happen? And the answer is, yes, it can happen. No, I don't think it's going to happen, but you can't, but it will happen if people aren't vigilant, you know? And so when you look at the militarization of the police, okay, it's not that I'm worried necessarily that a military coup is going to happen. I think that's very unlikely, not impossible, but very unlikely. But right. People can get hurt. People, things can happen that make people lose faith in the system, in the criminal justice system, in the police, in everything. And that's where things get dangerous. If things get destabilized, that's when really bad things can start happening.
Takes a 19-year-old who gets hit by a rock who fires back with an assault rifle into a crowd. And all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. I mean, we can have more Kent states. We can have, you know, more things like that. That's bad enough. You don't have to be motivated to oppose this thing based on a military coup. You don't want another Kent State. You don't want another, you know, you just don't want this thing happening. You don't want people afraid to go protest.
And what happens if the gangs in LA and down in Central Valley start fighting back against ICE?
Yeah, right. And you, I mean,
I got guns too. You guys want to go at it?
I mean, that's right. And they're not going to, you know, show up in a park and fight, you know, like the old Napoleonic Wars where they all line up and shoot each other. They're going to, you know, take somebody off at night and do this stuff. And that's why I'm worried about the escalation, because the more things like that happen, the more it justifies militarizing everything. And it escalates, leapfrog. And it's a scary thing.
There's more essays than there is ICE agents.
Yeah, it's I don't know. We have to be real careful to not overstate what can happen. Does Trump want to be a dictator? I have no doubt whatsoever. If he could pull off a military coup, he would. Period. No doubt. There's probably others who would too. Possibly even people in the Democratic Party. Possibly, you know, others who would. They don't say it because you don't really know what somebody is like until they actually have that kind of power.
Right.
And maybe people aren't that way. You know, as they say, you know, power corrupts. Absolutely. But I have no doubt that he wants to. But I still think that, you know, we have got a tradition of liberty in this country, the notion of it, even though it's broken down and breaks down all the time, that it has not had that many systematic breakdowns. We've had periods of like McCarthyism and the Palmer Raids and you know, slavery during the Civil War. I mean, the South. What's that?
January 6th.
January 6th, right, yeah. I mean, but I'm talking about from the government side of it. You know, and what scares a lot of people from what is a little chilling, it's Margaret Atwood may have been prophetic, right. Is that, you know, a couple of years before January 6th happened, the Gilead is actually born partly because a bunch of people went into Congress and started shooting at Congress people. They stormed the Capitol in that one. And then a couple of years later, it almost happens in real life. That's kind of chilling. It's like, Margaret, what did you know?
Yeah.
Militarization of the police, not a good thing, not necessary. There's no big threat out there. There's the riots in, they aren't even riots. I mean, as riots go in Los Angeles, they're kind of wimpy. Certainly nothing compared to the Watts riots, where dozens of people died and fires were all over the place. And we didn't, you know, and National Guard were called in there, and there were injuries and deaths. That was much worse.
Right. I wouldn't call these riots, but just intense protest for a day.
Yeah, I mean, right. You know, we saw the worst things we saw were the robot cars put on fire, but that there was nobody in them. That's, you know, I mean, it's just and those were set on fire either because of the rumors that they're basically rolling cameras going around giving information to the police. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's why they were burned, because of that perception. Probably in the future, What is that company, Venmo or whatever it is probably Venmo. Not going to send those cars into demonstrations like that.
Agreed.
Certainly not five of them at once, anyway.
And do we have time to get into our last subject here?
What's that? Which one?
Income inequality.
Sure.
I'll say Elon Musk's board of Tesla just gave him a $28 billion stock option deal. That's $28 billion with a B. That's probably more money than most cities and counties combined, all citizens combined, make in a year. We're having a huge problem here right now where the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer. And this is before we have the cuts to Medicaid and SNAP, which is food stamps coming up, but that's not going to be till the first quarter of 2027. The tax cuts that went through, instead of giving them a 10-year sunset, they're permanent. So you're going to need a Democratic Congress, Senate, and White House to change those. President Trump keeps talking about the deficit, even though his new big ugly bill is going to increase the deficit by $4 trillion. All he had to do was keep the taxes, when the tax bill went away, is increase taxes on the wealthy, and he'll cure that deficit overnight. I'm not sure what he was thinking there. Well, I do know what he's thinking. Just lie to the people and they don't know any better. The problem is any one person worth $28 billion for 1 year? I mean, $28 million is excessive. Go 1,000 times that amount, $28 billion.
I mean, are those stocks going to be worth that much after this? I mean, that's the thing is, I don't know how Tesla's been doing since he went back. Are they selling more cars now?
No, and people are not buying as many Teslas, especially overseas. I mean, he had what we call brand damage, just the reputational hit to Tesla because of one crazy man. Everyone kept saying, is this guy really this crazy? Well, it turns out, yeah, he is. He purchased Twitter, which is now called X, which has been losing money. Mm-hmm. Tesla was doing good until he went to the White House and started Doge. I can't tell you a single thing that Doge actually accomplished. And then, of course, he has the boring thing when he wants to build tunnels all over the place. And then don't forget SpaceX. That's probably his one great adventure that's done well.
But that's not something that's going to make money without government investing in it. So
requires government money, and Tesla requires government subsidies to make the numbers look good. Whenever you get the Tesla website, they give you a net number after your federal tax credit what the cost of the car is. Without that, you're paying a whole lot more money for a Tesla.
And the problem is Tesla also has a lot more competition than it used to have. I mean, there's a lot more, and I don't know that Tesla is working hard to get an alternative to lithium battery, because I know that there are other companies that are working on it real hard. Once that blows up, that is going to blow up the market completely.
What happens when you have to replace a Tesla battery, and what's that cost?
Yeah, a lot. Maybe not as much as the Chevy ones. The Chevy ones are like 15,000. I think they managed to get it lowered to 8,000. I think other companies have managed to get it down to 3,000 or 4,000. But it's a lot. It's like basically replacing an engine in a regular car. Right.
The other thing too is when you're dealing with the ultra wealthy, they don't pay payroll taxes for the most part. They don't pay Social Security. They don't pay Medicare. They don't pay unemployment. They don't pay state. Well, they'll have to, at the end of the day, most of these people get their money from dividends and capital gains and net real estate income. That's how the wealthy get wealthy. But they're not paying payroll taxes on those incomes.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if that $28 billion in stocks is going to be worth that in a year. But so it may shrink a bit.
Let's hope it does shrink.
Well, of course, then he'll be claiming, tax breaks on the depreciation of it. But that's so we'll see what that is worth. We have a widening of the Gulf. We've had that now for the past four decades. Since 1971, I think all but like 3 or 4 years, the American worker's wage has decreased in terms of real dollars every year.
After inflation.
Yeah, after inflation. So it's just, I don't know. Meanwhile, we are not having a whole lot of good economic news. Every report that comes in, it's not catastrophic, but it's not exciting either. There really is nothing to point to right now.
Part of the problem with this pay package is a lot of the anger of the Trump rally was that the middle class is getting screwed. And I agree with them. But the Democrats say the same thing. Middle class is getting screwed because we give all the tax breaks to the wealthy and the corporations, and the middle class ends up paying the taxes. Yeah. Instead of having people who make the most pay the most.
This is where the Democrats need to do something here.
Better messaging.
They need to start. Attacking Trump is fine, and taking advantage of the Epstein thing is fine. I mean, I don't think they should let up on that. Because Trump just keeps it alive himself with his. He's uncharacteristically. I mean, he's such a good politician with such good instincts that. It amazes me as to how badly he's handled this one. It's like, I mean, it's almost like a Democrat, honestly, but it's just,
I'm going to disagree with you there, Eric. He's about to grant a pardon to Ghislaine Maxwell. She's done her time. She helped out these poor girls decades ago. We should just let her go.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Apparently there's been some wrench in the works there. Apparently he didn't even know she got moved to the lighter prison.
How can he not know?
I don't know what's going on there, but we'll see. But it would work if she was just basically Epstein's business person, but she did more than business.
She was
involved in actual, you know, sex with
recruitment of underage women. I can't call them women, underage girls.
And acts. I mean, I just don't think that's going to fly. I don't know what Trump could do, honestly, but the stuff he's done is real bad. You don't call your own followers weak. That's a playbook, right out of Clinton. I mean, it's just, you don't do that. Hillary Clinton, that is. I don't think her husband ever did what made that mistake. But
that's because Trump told them to move on from the Epstein files, and they're not.
They're not doing it. It's just there. But fine as that is, the Democrats really have to think in terms of a vision, and this is the time. This is the time to do it. One of the advantages of DOGE and Trump burning everything down is this actually is an opportunity to say, you know what? We pledged to rebuild this stuff, but let's do it new. Let's do something new. Let's do it let's take advantage of it and rebuild it in a way that's better. You don't have to give Trump credit for having done that, but it is an actual opportunity. Maybe some of these things got overloaded. So if you have an actual vision of putting together agencies that at least for the first few years will operate well, this is what I want to do. I want to restore funding to this. I want to create a new agency that does this.
Unfortunately, we have to wait 3.5 years for that.
Fine, but you got to start now. You got to start building the idea, the concepts of it.
But you also heard that Elmo's red and he's a terrorist, so we had to cut funding for public broadcasting.
I know.
Ken Burns documentaries, because those were just woke.
Well, that's the thing, is Ken Burns is actually popular. I think Ken Burns, the one he did on with country music, people across the country love that one.
He's the best documentary filmmaker in our history of our country. So
definitely. I mean, it's just attacking him is a mistake if that's what they're doing. Create a vision of it, and it's not going to be receptive right now, but it doesn't have to be. Get the vision out there, and as things are falling apart, people will say, we'll start to pick up on it. But you got to have one. You got to have something other than Trump is bad and ain't it awful. You got to put something together.
Right. I'm agreeing with
you. I mean, do that. Newsom, do it. You know, you've got some vision, do it. It doesn't have to be. I mean, that's why Mondami is as popular as he is. He's got some vision. He's putting, maybe people don't like his ideas, and you don't have to even, quite frankly, even if I was a socialist, I wouldn't use the word socialism. Just put forth the product. You know, don't put it on a label that's loaded. Just make the proposals and do it.
Right.
Because technically speaking, a fire hydrant is socialism. You don't have to call it that, right? I mean, just do it. This is where they need to, really start thinking, if democracy doesn't fall apart, what's going to happen on the other side? Start simple, like, I'm going to tear up that ugly concrete that Trump put over the Rose Garden. Start with that, right? There's a vision. And that ballroom he's going to build will turn it into something less gaudy and better. I mean, start with those little things and then move on to the bigger things, the stuff that he's shutting down to restore the history. Yes, we'll put the history back into the history. Yes, we will include Trump's impeachment in the history of impeachments, right?
Right.
I mean, you got to, and then move on to, we're going to do, the education department right this time. This is what we have. We will get input from local communities and the rest and all of the players, including the unions, but also including other, players and stakeholders in how do we structure a federal program that facilitates rather than dictates. Something. What should a federal education program look like? What should it fund? What shouldn't it? Start holding town meetings about it. Okay, we don't have an education program. Trump was allowed to unilaterally tear it apart. So what should it look like? What do you want in it?
Right.
All this kind of stuff. Everything he tears apart, say we're going to rebuild it. Let's start the blueprints right now. That's what they should be focusing on.
So we need to go back and talk. I think Democrats need to talk facts. When Congressman Mike Flood in Nebraska had his town hall the other day, he said, should a 26-year-old able-bodied male who's sitting at home watching TV, should he get free health care? And my question to them would have been, name him. Give me his actual name and what city he works in, and then let's go talk to him and find out, is he disabled? Does he have some sort of disease? What's going on here? Because I'm going to agree with you, a 26-year-old man who should have work, whose able body should be working. But give me a name, and if you can't give me a single name, they don't exist. It's all Fox News fantasy.
Yeah.
Tell it for what it is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Why is he not working? And let's address that issue. Yeah. Is there?
They lie on Fox News and no one ever counts them. Just say, give me one name. Let's go talk to this person.
Yeah. I know. Well, for instance, that one of the things they're pulling is, with all these ID requirements and everything, now illegal aliens can't vote. I went to, there's a right-wing site about voting and trends and looking for over the past 10 years over people who've been convicted of voter fraud in different issues. There have been people who have been not citizens who have tried to vote, most of them by accident because they didn't know they weren't allowed to vote. Only one over the past 20 years was an illegal, was here illegally. One, zero.
Voter fraud is, it's like literally 5-10 people out of millions, tens of millions.
Yeah, and you remember when Trump set up his commission, he was going to have people on? In the first term around, he had a commission to investigate it. And remember, it just all of a sudden evaporated. They couldn't even get the paperwork from it. They tried to do Freedom of Information Act, and all of a sudden it just didn't exist, and none of their findings could be found. That's because they found across the country for 2016 under 20 people who committed fraud, and most of them were Republicans.
Right. I was going to say, most of them turned out to be Republicans.
Yeah,
that remember was the it. Guy who killed his wife, but then forged his signature on her absentee ballot.
Yeah.
Trump needed that extra vote.
The one that in Texas, the legal resident that they decided to go after to make an example of her, she was registered Republican. And they were like saying, well, we don't know how she voted. It's like, no, but we know what she was registered as. That's the data we have. Right. You can speculate that she voted for a Democrat, but we know the information we have is that she's a Republican. I mean, it's just, you know, it's there. And a lot of them were people voting for their dead spouses saying, well, I know he would have voted for Trump. You know, right. It's like, you know, that's the point. And that's why they didn't, they were expecting to find, you know, millions on the rolls. It doesn't happen because, quite frankly, if you are an undocumented immigrant and you don't want to get busted and get deported, are you going to take a chance on voting? Why?
Nope.
Measure what there is to gain with your single vote as compared to what you have to lose if you get caught. It just, the math, you just right. don't do doesn't the math. Work. You know, it just doesn't make, it doesn't compute.
But, I agree.
You know, so it's, there's a few other items of news as we're getting towards the top, towards the end here. Good news for the Democrats in Georgia. Former Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan has switched from the Republican to the Democratic Party, is going to run for some type of office, and is very popular there. I think this is probably going to happen more often.
So can you help me out here? Sydney Sweeney's jeans ads. Why is stir on Fox News? I saw the ads. They're cute. By the way, American Eagle stock has soared and American Eagle's jean sales have soared. So whatever money they paid her, they underpaid her.
Yeah. And so apparently there's this, there was a campaign saying that Democrats were calling it Nazi propaganda somehow, because jeans, whatever, good jeans, white, good-looking white woman. But apparently, nobody can name a Democrat.
Right. I was just going to say, outside of some crazy college woke kids who didn't like it because they had a white woman on there.
Yeah.
It's not a crime to be attractive and white.
No. And these were people posting on social media.
Right.
I mean, you know, saying they were Democrats, or I don't even know if they were saying they were Democrats. They just posted some, you know, dogmatic stuff about, oh, this is, you know, certain standards, white standards of beauty, whatever. But that's okay. That's par for the course. But for Fox News to say and turn it on, this is why Democrats lose elections. And somebody said, you know, I think in one of the interviews, somebody said, well, so who in the Democratic Party is saying this? Well, it's not about that. Well, yeah, it is. If you're accusing Democrats of saying this, name somebody. You know, is that, you know, well, no big names are dumb enough to say that. Well, how about a small name? I mean, is there anybody there who identifies himself as a Democrat saying this?
So some Democratic influencer on X or Twitter said one bad thing and that blows up on Fox News?
Yeah. We're at our predictions phase, and at long last, we're being joined by David Frank, who is coming back, and he's promising to do some future shows, but he's come here to provide a prediction.
Yeah, so surprisingly, I'm diving back into the deep end here with just going out on a limb. And so my hunch, I don't know if you guys have covered this in recent shows or not, but all the clamor about the Federal Reserve and the interest rates, my prediction is that the economy is actually looking a little bit worse than people realize, revealed in those most recent job reports. We'll talk more about that on later shows, but I think it's pretty safe to bet that we're going to see either a quarter point or a half point interest rate reduction in September. So something to look forward to if you're out there and that affects your finances.
Assuming we don't get hit with inflation, but yeah.
You know, David, I have to jump in there. I'm sorry you missed the first part of our show, but you must be confused because Trump's already corrected that it was rigged. So we're moving on. The judge.
Okay.
All right. Your prediction, Matt?
My prediction is, as much as the Republicans, especially the QAnon people, claim they're going after the child pedophiles, we have to get child pedophiles. Trump is in the Epstein list, and Ghislaine Maxwell will get a pardon.
Wow. Okay. Well, as we know, we have these Russian hoax probes. The grand jury has now been appointed and is subpoenaing Democrats to investigate the falsehoods and the oppression of Trump and his campaign, including Obama. They seem to have forgotten that they can't prosecute Obama for anything because the SCOTUS majority has said that when you're president, if anything you do in official capacity, you can't be prosecuted for. So maybe they are thinking of prosecuting members of his cabinet or his administration. No, they know that this is a dead end. This is all for show. They're going to, you know, try to dig up some dirt that they can throw out into the media. My prediction is nothing, no charges ever get filed. It's all for show. We'll find out if any of these things happen or don't happen. Until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.